Again, this afternoon, it's our pleasure to welcome you. We have visitors with us. We're glad to see you, encourage you to get your Bible and examine the teachings tonight in light of what the Bible teaches. This morning in our study, we talked about the kind of husbands wives need, and this afternoon, the companion, the kind of wives husbands need. When God made them male and female at the beginning, He made provision for the woman as wife. The wise man said in Proverbs 18:22, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." To the Corinthians, Paul penned these words, "Let every man have his own wife." 1 Corinthians 7 and in verse 2. What kind of wife do you think a husband needs? As we explore the kind of wives husbands need, you might ask yourself the question, am I that kind of wife? And see if you can check these off as a personal checklist. As you pick up your Bible and read in the book of Genesis, let me suggest to us, first of all, that husbands need wives who are a help meet to them. When God saw the loneliness of man, He provided for that in the home. He said in Genesis 2 and verse 18, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him what? And help meet for him." The Lord formed the beast of the ground, but for him there was not found an help meet. He then placed the man asleep, removed a rib from his side, and with the rib that God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. This provided man with an help meet. That is a helper, an aider, one who helps. A husband needs a wife who's a help to him, who aids him. There may be some husbands who are hindered by their wives. May I suggest to you that husbands need wives who are a help. And a woman ought to be thinking of ways that she can be of help and aid her husband. But in addition to that, husbands need wives who honor them. In the book of Esther, chapter 1 and verse 20, I want you to recall the king's decree, which was published throughout all his empire, that all the wives shall give to their husbands. What was it that was decreed that all wives should give to their husbands? Honor, both to great and small. In Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul talked about the husband-wife relationship, you remember what he said in verse 33, the last few words? "And the wife, see that she reverence her husband." Husbands need wives who reverence them, who honor them, who speak of them in such a way that shows honor. When they talk to others, they honor them. There may be some who leave the impression that their husband can't do anything right. They're very critical, overly critical of their husband. They find fault with him and put him down before others. Husbands need wives who honor them. In addition to that, husbands need wives who are a crown to them. The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 4, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." As a wife, are you a crown to your husband, or do you make ashamed? A virtuous woman, that is one who's chaste, is a crown to her husband. I don't know of any better description of that than the one we find in Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, wherein it is asked, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her." Husbands need wives in whom they can safely trust, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Husbands need wives who are like that, who seek wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Such a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. That's the kind of wife and that a husband needs. But also, as you make your list of kind of wives husbands need wives who are prudent. Notice in Proverbs 19, 13 to 14, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. You might see this as a contrast between the contentions of a wife as a continual dropping and a prudent wife. How that she is from the Lord. That is, she's wise. She displays wisdom. In Proverbs 14:1, the wise man said, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Husbands need wives, who are prudent in their doings. But also, husbands need wives who recognize that they're bound to them. In Romans 7, when Paul taught a law lesson, he used the marriage relationship to illustrate that and said in Romans 7:2, the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, how long? So long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's Romans 7:2-3. Husbands need wives who recognize that marriage is for life and who are bound to them, who recognize and respect the teaching of 1 Corinthians 7:10, let not the wife depart from her husband. How that in verse 39 it is written, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. Taking that a step further from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, husbands need wives who render due benevolence to them. As Paul talked about the fact that every man is to have his own wife and every woman her husband, he said, let the husband render the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And the command not to defraud, and a failure on the part of wives to hear that and heed that, to respect that teaching, has contributed to problems in the marriage relationship down through the ages. But then as you make your list, add to that the fact that husbands need wives who submit to them. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice verse 22 where Paul penned, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. A lot of people don't like that today. That's not politically correct. Yet, the book of God says that the wife is to submit in that the husband is the head, as Christ is the church. And in verse 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Paul wrote a similar statement in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18 when he declared, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Paul had a little something to say about that to Titus. In Titus chapter 2, when he put together a sermon for all ages, aged men, aged women, young men, young ladies, and how the aged women are to teach the young women, among other things, to be obedient to their own husbands. Titus 2, and in verse 5. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 1, said, "You wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." And when a wife fills her God-assigned place and shows this submissive spirit, it goes a long way in winning him to the Lord. You may have a situation where a woman is married to a man that's not a Christian. And Peter said, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. In verse 5, he said, after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And the classic example of that is when he says in verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And so husbands need wives who submit to their headship. But also, husbands need wives who adorn themselves properly. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and beginning in verse 9, the apostle talked about some principles that guide and govern our dress. He said, in like manner, he just talked about men, how that men are to be holy and men of prayer, how that women also are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. If there is such a thing as modest apparel, would that imply that there's apparel that's immodest? It would, wouldn't it? With shamefacedness, that is, the ability to blush. Or have we become like those in Jeremiah's day who, he said, were they ashamed? Nay, not at all. Neither could they blush. And sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. That is, the emphasis is placed on the inner part of man, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter 3, the hidden man of the heart, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Husbands need wives who adorn themselves in modest apparel. And husbands need wives who help qualify them to serve. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul gave the qualifications of elders and deacons, not only did he talk about the men, but he addressed their wives. He said in verse 11, even so must their wives. A man, as far as you look at him, may be qualified. But then you get to looking at the wife, and she may disqualify him because she's failed to be the kind of wife that he needs, a wife that will help qualify him to serve. By being grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Be a shame, wouldn't it, that a man might be hindered in that way. He'd like to serve. He'd be qualified to serve. But because of the kind of wife that he has, he's not able to do that. He's not qualified. And so husbands need wives who qualify them to serve. And then finally, husbands need wives who love them. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, as Paul listed things that the women are to teach the young ladies, among those he said to love their husbands. That's needed. How is it that you show your love for your husband? Do you tell him? Do you show him? Surely he wouldn't get to thinking, I wonder if she loves me. And the kind of love that wives need for husbands is the kind that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 13 in the love chapter. When he said in verse 4, charity or love suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. Husbands need wives who love them and display that kind of love in that relationship. How do you do as a wife with this list? Can you check those off? I'm glad and grateful for my good wife. And as I got to thinking about this lesson, the kind of wives husbands need, I thought every husband needs a wife, just like the one I've got. I'm thankful for. And I wouldn't be able to do what I am without her help and support. We'd like to give you an opportunity before we leave this assembly to become married to Christ. as the church is the bride of Christ, and don't lose sight of the fact that when the Lord began talking about the relationship that he has with his people, he represented that as a marriage relationship. And Paul wrote about husbands and wives in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he appealed to the Romans in chapter 7 and verse 4 to keep the law of Christ because you're married to Christ. And you become married to Christ by hearing his word, by believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized into Jesus Christ. And as one who is married to Christ, we have the responsibility to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, to honor him and to submit to him. There may be those in this audience who've not yet become married to Christ. Why not now? We'll take you upon the confession of your faith and baptize you. And you can go on your way rejoicing as one who's married to Christ. Maybe you've already done that, but you've become unfaithful. The Lord stands with outstretched arms, ready to receive you back, to forgive you of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If there's sin in your life as a child of God that you need to correct, would you repent of it? Would you stop it? And we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. If you need the prayers of the church at this time, would you make your way to the front while together we stand and sing?